You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
It is time.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for SB Nation. I cover the NFL for FanRag Sports and FanSided. And you can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers, and you can find all the podcast content at LockedOnPackers.com. It is Monday, and the open legal tampering period begins today at noon, where teams can discuss contracts with players who are going to be free agents. It is basically open season starting at 12 p.m. today. You could be listening to this before that. You could be listening to this after that. There's going to be a lot that's going to come at you in terms of information over the next 24, 48 hours. And the actual free agency period begins in earnest on the 14th. That is when the new league year starts. That is when contracts can be finalized. But expect to hear about deals before that because of this tampering period. There will be deals that are consummated essentially right away because, if we're being honest, these deals are already done in some cases, or they're close to done because that's what the combine is for. And it's just, there is an official way that the NFL presents this. And the teams all agree and the agents all agree that this is how they're going to present it. But the reality is, it's not what happens. Behind the scenes, teams are talking to agents, they're negotiating, and that's technically against the rules. But everyone does it. Everyone understands that everyone else does it. And so there's not really a competitive advantage. Before we get to any of that, and we will talk about the free agent market, because the Packers have been linked to a number of high-profile free agents, and some high-profile free agents have already been signed. We're going to get to all of that a little bit later in the show. We have to start with a move the Packers have already made, and that was at the end of last week, the Packers traded Demarius Randall, their former first-round pick, and their best corner last year, to the Cleveland Browns for DeShone Kizer, their starting quarterback, the number 52 overall pick in the 2017 draft, and the man who almost handed the Packers the only loss that would have been handed out by the Browns all season. DeShone Kizer had his best game against the Packers, and there's all kinds of interconnected webs between these two teams. The first being that Elliott Wolf, the assistant GM in Cleveland, was in the Packers front office when DeShone Kizer was drafted and when Demarius Randall was drafted. And the Packers really liked DeShone Kizer last year. Obviously, the people in the room saying that were Ted Thompson and or Brian Gutekunst. Obviously, Gutekunst was one of those voices. The Browns front office has Alonzo Highsmith as well, and former Packer John Dorsey. Now, he was obviously not in the room for either of these, in either of the franchises, so he doesn't have a connection here. But Mike Pettine, former Browns coach, he's not related here, but obviously he is involved with determining the future of Demarius Randall. So there's a lot of interesting interconnected pieces here. The Packers also swap fourth and fifth round picks. So they'll have the first pick in the fourth round, which is a very coveted pick because it kicks off day three. There could be teams hoping to trade up. It could be a trade chip that the Packers use on day two to move up. There's a lot of things that could go on here. But let's start with the obvious question, and that is, why did the Packers trade their best corner from last season, a guy who is going into the final year of a rookie contract, who is cheap and played a position of need, a premium position? The Packers have one guy that you feel comfortable starting next year, and he's coming off shoulder surgery. He's coming off a rookie season. Why would you do that? Well, the first reason you would do that is the Packers clearly did not believe he was part of their long-term plans. And apparently the writing was on the wall inside that locker room. We just didn't know it. We got some hints that I think now we can extrapolate and say we're almost certainly talking about Demarius Randle. But let's go back, because Randle was benched early in the year and the Packers stood by him. He continued to play and ended up having a very good rest of the season. Played at a borderline Pro Bowl level for much of the year. But at the end of the season, Mike McCarthy singled him out and said he needs to clean up his own house, suggesting that Randle was not satisfied with either the coaching or the play of other players, and McCarthy's insistence was that he deal with himself. It was that he needed to look inward because of, it's essentially the professional football version of when an elementary school teacher writes on your report card that needs to worry less about what others are doing, whether it's tattling or whether what they're not doing. Oh, so-and-so, you know, Johnny isn't coloring. It's like, okay, just deal with what yourself. Deal with yourself. That's what this sounds like happened. And then there was this quote after the season from HaHa Clinton Dix. And I know a lot of Packer fans didn't like it. But I wonder if we read it in a different light now. He said, it's a business, but at the same time, we're trying to build a championship team. And if you don't have the chemistry within the team, and you've got so many different individuals coming into the locker room that aren't worth a shit, it's kind of tough. Other guys have a different motivation when they come in here. Other guys want to get checks and just get out of here. Some guys just want to go to the Pro Bowl. Some guys are just content with where they're at now. So it's hard to build a winning caliber team when you've got so many characteristics of players here. It's just an interesting quote in context here. Andy Herman from Cheesehead TV was the one that I noticed point that out. That quote reads differently now. If there are players only worried about the stats or only worried about making the Pro Bowl or are hurting team chemistry, could that have been Demarius Randle? Okay, now let's add another piece of evidence here. Rob Domofsky reports there was a group of veteran leaders that McCarthy has entrusted to talk to and communicate with. And they went to McCarthy and said, we think Demarius Randle should be cut. This is during the year. This is in the middle of this whole imbroglio. So now we're stacking pieces together. The Packers clearly did not want to pay him his option, which they would have had to do after this season, which would have been nearly $9 million. There were clearly players on the team who were dissatisfied with his attitude and his commitment. There were coaches who clearly felt that way, Mike McCarthy singling him out, and a player who didn't name him specifically, but called out players on the team engaging in behavior similar to that described by others as belonging to Demarius Randle. Clearly, the talent was there for someone like Randle. Playmaking instincts, he was big. He never played hard consistently. And I defended him. Look, I was a defender, an ardent defender of Demarius Randle, because I just loved his talent. I loved him coming out. I don't think Dom Capers used him properly. He wanted to play man coverage. Dom Capers wanted to play zone. If I had to guess, this is where I would say the biggest problem was. Randle did not want to play the coverages he was asked to play. And so when he played zone, he didn't play hard. When he played man, he played hard. When he got to go against Josh Gordon in Cleveland and man him up, he played hard. And he locked him down. Can you trust a guy like that? I don't know. Let's flip this now, because Demarius Randle no longer on the team. The Packers bring in DeShone Kizer, a highly talented quarterback. I had him. He went 52. I thought he was the 13th best prospect in the draft last year. I said so at the time. The only quarterback, if he were in this draft, he just turned 22 in January, by the way. If he were in this draft, he would be the second most talented quarterback in it. I think Josh Rosen is the best quarterback. If DeShone Kizer were in this draft, he'd be second. He'd be right in that Sam Darnold mix. I think Kizer has more talent, more tools than Carson Wentz. Does he have the mental makeup? Does he have the ability to get better? We're going to see that. But that is the risk they're taking here. Clearly, the Packers reports that they were into Kizer last year. That was clearly true. And that was clearly Brian Gutekunst and potentially Ted Thompson. They were talked out of it, obviously. They didn't pull the trigger. But that also suggests that the Packers were not sold on Brett Hundley, despite the fact that Mike McCarthy said they were, said that he was ready, and then admitted after the year he wasn't. This is an upside play for the Packers because Kizer is so talented, can run, can sling it. I mean, he has a cannon for an arm. And the quick decision-making that Brett Hundley struggled with was not as big a problem for DeShone Kizer. The problem was making poor decisions. He was willing to let it rip just in the wrong areas. You can deal with a quarterback and help track his decision-making. You can help improve that and say, you need to be looking at X, Y, and Z. Hugh Jackson's offense was a disaster. That team was a disaster. Their skill players were a mess all year. The offensive line didn't play as well as they thought it would, given all the money they invested in it. DeShone Kizer is extremely talented. Let me read the final write-up that I did about Kizer from last year leading up to the draft, and it'll help you understand the big picture here. Kizer has the biggest arm of the top QBs in this class, but lacks consistent ball placement. He has experience in a big-time system, although he played primarily out of the gun. Kizer's size and strength will make him difficult to tackle even for NFL defenders, and his speed makes him a potential weapon in the run game. Just a redshirt sophomore, Kizer would benefit from returning to school for another year, but his stock appears high enough to take the risk and come out. In a perfect world, you let him sit. A place like Chicago would be ideal. But he has the upside to be a dynamic NFL quarterback, may have more pure upside than Deshaun Watson, but is a riskier pick with a lower floor. Kizer will end up grading out ahead of Wentz and Lynch from the 16 class, but behind Goff, Mariota, Winston as top-tier products. First round grade. He went 52. This is a premier quarterback talent that the Packers have brought in. When Aaron Rodgers is 40, DeShone Kizer will be 27. Now, the Packers have him under contract for this season and two more after. So they will not be able to quite make it to Aaron Rodgers' 40th birthday. But if they can't, in a year or two, develop him into a quality backup, they can move on. Or they can deal him the way that the Patriots did with Jimmy Garoppolo, or the way that the Packers have done so many times in the past with quarterbacks of this nature. He needs a program like Green Bay has, and he has every tool physically that you look for. And don't rule out the importance of those picks. I expect the Packers now have the most picks in the draft. I expect they will use a package of those to move up at some point in the draft. I don't know when that will be. I've suggested that I think it should be after or before their 45th pick in the second round, either get back into the first or get back into the second to get one of the last impact players. They certainly have the ammunition to do that. You are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. Be sure to catch up on everything new across the NFL with Locked On NFL, and this time of year with Locked On NFL Draft. With free agency starting, it is only appropriate that we talk about it, and this is not like years past for Green Bay. The Packers are going to be in. When Richard Sherman was cut over the weekend, the Packers were reportedly one of a handful of teams to reach out to inquire about signing Sherman. Now, he ultimately signed a three-year, $39 million deal with the San Francisco 49ers. It was a huge number to me. I thought it was a risk, but the 49ers have Texas with a dollar sign for cap room, so they can make these kinds of big swings. It is a $13 million deal that maxes out there yearly. He has to make all pro teams, go to the Pro Bowl. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has to take place for him to make $13 million. But if he does some of these things, that contract loads up on guaranteed money in the future. And so it's a smart deal for Sherman to bet on himself. That's a lot for a guy that's had to have two Achilles procedures in the last 3 months. He had the right Achilles and then had to have surgery on the left Achilles after the fact. Apparently common, but still worrisome for a guy who's going to be 30 this year. A three-year deal, you're talking about paying a 33-year-old corner with multiple Achilles surgeries. That could be a problem. Now, we still have no word on Muhammad Wilkerson. He was reported to have at least two more visits after the New Orleans visit. No word on what the deal is there. But over the weekend, multiple reports surfacing that the Packers are in on Rams free agent Tremaine Johnson. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to sign him, but they're going to try. They're going to be in. They will make a push. Whether or not they can get a deal done, obviously we're going to see. The Packers have a little under, this has been a question that I've heard a lot. The Packers have a little under $20 million in cap space for 2018. That is according to Tom Silverstein. That is the latest number that I've seen that seems accurate. And they can save another $15 million by extending Aaron Rodgers, something they will do once that Kirk Cousins deal finalizes. They can save almost $8 million by extending Clay Matthews. And they can save $13 million by extending Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. Now, why extending? Well, because the way that guaranteed money works, when you have a signing bonus, that money gets spread out on the cap. So some money is paid up front, and then some money is paid out over the length of the contract. If you have more years on the contract, you get to spread out that cap hit. So you're actually paying a similar or slightly more money overall. So let's say that Randall Cobb was going to get $10 million this year. Instead, what they could do is say, okay, we're going to give you a three-year contract. You're going to get $6 million a year or $7 million a year. So over the course of his contract, he's going to get more money because he's going to get two extra years on the deal. You're extending him. But now you get to prorate that signing bonus. You get to spread it out and you get to lower the cap figure in 2018. There's a lot of different ways this can be done for a lot of different players. And this can also be done with a free agent that signs because the Packers have gobs of cap space in 2019 and 2020. So they could sign a player like Tremaine Johnson, let's say, and say, listen, Tremaine, we're going to give you this big signing bonus and you're going to average out about $12 million per year average. But in year one, it's going to be $6 million just from a cap standpoint. And then it gets backloaded and they can load that up for 2019 and 2020. The premise being, if you're going to sign these guys, and they're going to be on the team anyway in 2019 or 2020, then it's okay to pay them that money because it evens out. Now, Tremaine Johnson was not the only name to surface. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was also cut by the New York Giants. He could be a cheaper option. He can play outside, he can play in the slot, and he is still young, relatively speaking. He's young enough to have gas in the tank. He'll turn 32 in April. Is he going to come in and be an all-pro? No. Can he still run? Can he still play on the boundary? Can he still play in the slot? Absolutely, yes. Is he long? Yes. Does he have playmaking ability? Yes. Would he immediately be the best cornerback on this roster? Yes. The Packers have also reportedly expressed interest or are interested in Breshad Breeland, corner from Washington. He is, again, big, physical, not quite as fast as you'd like, but he has playmaking instincts, and he plays with swagger. And again, he would be a great complement to Kevin King, not quite the athlete that King is, but the Packers are going to have to add multiple corners after the Demaryius Randall trade. They're going to have to sign at least one, if not two, corners. Now, whether that's one big name guy and one lesser, you know, sort of replacement level guy or two middle class free agents, I think almost certainly they're going to draft someone But they're going to have a lot of options. There's a lot of corners on the market. A lot of corners that the Packers are apparently interested in. The fact that they've called on Richard Sherman, and now we have reports on three other corners that the Packers could be interested in. It seems pretty clear the Packers are going to be in on free agency and in for a corner, which is what I've been advocating for weeks now. If you want to go win the Super Bowl this year, you need to bring in veteran corners because rookies take time. Kevin King is your upside play. You need to bring in a veteran corner to play opposite him. Maybe you bring back Devon House, and then you can draft someone. If that rookie comes in and needs to start on the boundary, you might have a problem. I'd like to see Lindsey Pipkins get a chance to earn some playing time. Longtime listeners of the show will know how I feel about him. I think he's earned a chance to prove that he can be more than he's been for this team. But it's pretty clear at this point. The Packers, they have laid their cards on the table. They want to sign a corner. And so what are these guys going to cost? Casey Hayward over the weekend also signed for $12 million a year. A little bit less than it would have seemed like he could have gotten. He opted for security. It's still an increase for him. But I think what you're going to see is the fact that there are guys like Breland, like Ross Cockrell, like Aaron Colvin out there on the market, Prince Amukamara. Is that going to drive down the price? Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie now. Does that bring down the price for someone like Tremaine Johnson? Does it bring down the price for Malcolm Butler? Will they max out at $13 million, or is that going to be the starting point? Obviously, teams need these guys. But there is no Stephon Gilmore out there. A young, uber-talented corner coming on the market in his prime. That guy is not out there. I think Malcolm Butler and Tremaine Johnson are the closest thing to that. But they're, in terms of talent, they're a tick below. Now, in terms of productivity, there's no questioning Malcolm Butler has been a better player than Stephon Gilmore, been a more consistent player. It seems like Packer fans are in on the Tremaine Johnson train. And I understand why. He is everything Mike Pettine wants in a defensive back. He is everything that it seems like this front office wants in a defensive back. Because they want someone tall, they want someone long, and they want someone who can be disruptive, who can make plays. 7 interceptions 2 years ago. There is too much smoke. I know Packer fans want to be pessimistic, or at least some of them do. There is too much smoke at this point. The Packers are going to sign a cornerback. Now, are they going to get a really good one? Is he going to play well? I can't say that for sure. But they're in on these top guys. There are going to be some pessimistic Packer fans who say, well, this is all just PR. The Packers are leaking this so that they can say we tried and then ultimately sign no one because that's what they want to do. And they just want to get fans' hopes up. They want to make it seem like they did everything they could and then ultimately re-sign Devon House and then run it back next year. Maybe. That doesn't seem likely to me. There was a culture change. There was a paradigm change this offseason. Changing offensive and defensive coordinators. Changing the front office. Changing the front office structure. And I think it's important to point out, I mentioned this a week or two ago when we found out that this was happening, the Packers coaches are going to have a say in free agency. Or at least they're going to have some sort of input. That means these names that I've mentioned are not just coming from the front office. They're coming from Joe Witt. They're coming from Mike Pettine. They're potentially coming from Mike McCarthy. Guys who are going to coach these players. You know coaches love veterans. If the coaches are going to have some input, they're going to push. They're going to push for Aaron Colvin. They're going to push for Breshad Breland. They're going to push for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Malcolm Butler, Tremaine Johnson. It's interesting Butler is not on the list. Everyone on the list is 6'1 or taller. Clearly the Packers have a preference. So this idea that they could eschew their preferences and draft someone like Jaire Alexander Mike Hughes, I wouldn't hold your breath. It's pretty clear the type of player the Packers want to bring in. They want to bring in big guys, and they want to bring in uber athletes. And they want to bring in a combination of both. That's why Marcus Davenport makes sense at 14, or Harold Landry. Freak athletes. That is what they want to do. That is what they want this team to look like. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you about our Pro Football Focus Edge giveaway. Put your name and your Twitter handle in a review of this podcast on iTunes, and you'll be entered to win a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. That's a $39.99 value. And this time of year, it is loaded with college stats and college profiles, draft content up the wazoo. It is all there for you, but behind the paywall. Get behind that paywall by winning our contest. And to win our contest, you have to put your name and your Twitter handle in a review of this podcast on iTunes, preferably with a 5-star review. It is that easy. All right, here is my promise to you moving forward the next few days. There will be an emergency podcast for any Packers signing, big or small. If it's small, maybe we do 5-10 minutes. If it's big, we'll do 10 to 15. Packers sign Tremaine Johnson, we'll have a lot to discuss. Packers sign, not Tremaine Johnson, we'll have less to discuss because it'll be a less impactful signing. So I'm not going to hop on to talk about if Tremaine Johnson signs somewhere else. It's just there's not enough to talk about. I don't think it's particularly interesting because I'd much rather talk about what the Packers are doing rather than what they aren't doing. So if there is a signing between now and Wednesday, or a reported signing, or the Packers are going to X, Wednesday is the day. We're going to do a show end of day Wednesday because we're going to get signings. They're going to fly fast and furious. And my guess is if the Packers are going to get one of these guys, especially one of the lower end veterans, I think someone like Tremaine Johnson may take his time a little bit, survey his options, try and get the most money. I think someone like DRC, he could be looking for the best situation, which could be in Green Bay. So we're going to wait. That's going to be an end of day situation so that we can maximize our window there. The reality is we're just not going to be on top of everything because we can't be. So I'm going to do my best. So we'll have that show. We'll have a show on Friday. That will be Friday morning, but again, this is going to be a living and breathing organism over the next week or two. When there's a signing, I will bring it to you as soon as possible. That means you need to keep an eye on my Twitter feed because I'll tweet about the show. I've had people ask about it. I will answer those questions on Twitter. So you need to be following me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter. I will tweet out all the episodes at Locked On Packers. You can find it all at LockedOnPackers.com. And if I could take that all and encompass it in just one phrase, in just one saying, everything you need to focus on, you need to stay locked on Packers.